You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
One of the most controversial questions parents have faced in the past decade has been this: how can children be raised successfully? This burning issue has been seized upon by scores of self-styled child experts who have, in response to the need, turned out hundreds and even thousands of books on how to raise children. But this trend to raise children strictly by the book is now coming under intense criticism. One influential child psychologist, a professor at Harvard University, states that more and more parents purchase child-rearing books simply because these parents are afraid to bring up their children on their own. These parents do not trust their own convictions and their own moral faith. This Harvard medical expert claims that these same parents are now increasingly intimidated by all of the child experts. These parents, he said, have abdicated, they have forsaken, they have given up a higher vision, whether it be religious or political. And having now turned away from God and country, these confused parents are left alone totally by themselves. And of course, as these parents give up on themselves and their natural ability to raise children, and as they rely more and more on experts, a new philosophy of child-rearing has taken root in our culture. Let children make their own decisions. Isn't this what we so often hear today? Let children do whatever they want. This kind of unguided liberal approach to the home has produced all kinds of social clashes and tragedies in society. But most important, the philosophy of letting children make all their own decisions has now proven catastrophic, especially in religion and religious training. For example, if children don't want to go to church or Sunday school, many parents today regard this as no problem. But this permissive and irresponsible approach to raising children clashes directly with the teachings of the Bible. In the Bible, in the book of Proverbs, we read, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Again, in the Bible, in the book of Psalms, we read that God established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he, God, commanded our fathers that they should teach this word of the Lord to their children, that the generation to come might know, even the children yet to be born, that they may arise and tell God's word to their children, that they should put their confidence in God and not forget the wonderful works of God. And the psalmist goes on to remind all parents that they should keep God's commandments and not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not prepare its heart and whose spirit was not faithful unto God. And so, as we read in the Bible that Christian education and spiritual training is not optional for parents, we are then faced with the inevitable question, which is this? Exactly, what is that which God expects parents to teach their children? The psalmist in our text explains this when he says that it is the law of God. Actually, this includes the entire Word of God. And of course, this also includes the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt have no other gods other than the God of the Bible. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Thou shalt remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Or, to put it more simply, God expects all of us as adults and children, those of us who are able, to go to church every Sunday. The fourth commandment, thou shalt honor thy parents. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. And so on and so forth. But as we meditate upon the admonition in the Bible that we are to know God, let us always stress, as the psalmist points out, that the most important thing for your children to know is this: children, are to hear from their parents about the wonderful works of God. Oh, yes, God wants you to teach your children about His Son, Jesus. God the Father wants your children to know that when they make a mistake, when they sin, when they fail, and when they fall short of what God expects of them, that there is always forgiveness for them in Jesus. For your children, just like you and like me, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, washes us clean from all of our sins, all of our errors, and all of our mistakes. And of course, there is no better summary of God's wonderful works than that which is found in the third chapter of the Gospel of John, where we read this. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus, that whoever believes in Him, and this includes small children, that whosoever believes in Jesus shall not perish, but he shall have everlasting life. These few words sum up the entire message of the Bible. God is a God of love, and as a result of His deep love and mercy, God has arranged whereby all men and women and children who sin and fail can be forgiven. This is what God says. Yes, through faith in Jesus, they are graciously, your children are graciously, granted a new start and a new hope. For those who believe in Jesus, there is no reason for them to become discouraged and full of despair. Oh, parents, it is so important for you to tell your children that when Jesus died on the cross, that He paid for all of their sins and mistakes, when Jesus Christ cried out from the cross and said, "It is finished," Jesus was then announcing to the whole world that He had defeated sin and death and the devil. And I pray that you will instill this gospel message of Jesus' victory, the glorious gospel of hope, of help and eternal forgiveness, deep into the hearts and souls of your dear children. Now, as you struggle in your sincere desire to do what is best for your children, and as you as parents strive to raise them effectively, no greater gift can you ever give them than the gift of the knowledge of the love and the mercy of God in Jesus Christ. Childhood and teenage years are periods of life when mistakes and failures face a child daily, if not hourly. The burden of guilt weighing on the shoulders of your children can distort your child's perspective of life. Yes, this guilt can even break down and destroy the child forever. And even though this may come as a surprise to many modern parents, the Bible also teaches that to love your children means to discipline them. In His holy word, God is speaking to all parents when He says that if you fail to discipline your child, you actually hate your child. Yes, this is what the Bible says. And if you love your offspring, you will certainly diligently discipline them. Again in the Bible, Proverbs chapter 13, we read, "Don't withhold punishment from a boy, and if you punish him with a stick, he will not die." The Bible, of course, rules out all forms of child abuse. But at the same time, God in His Word encourages firm and loving discipline. "Train up a child in the way he should go," God's Word states. This means, of course, that forgiveness, encouragement, love, gentleness, and respect are always at the basis of your Christian discipline. Of course, one of the great tragedies of the modern American home is that parents spend so little time with their children. According to Pamela Cantor, president of the American Association of Suicidology, American parents spend less time with their children than do families of any other country in the world. This is a very, very serious matter, not only in the opinion of clergy, but also by secular experts. In an interview in U.S. News and World Report, Dr. Brazelton, professor of pediatrics at Harvard University, said that the greater amount of time that parents spend with their children, the more these children will be enabled to face crises later on in their life. Oh, I am sure that most people would agree with this medical expert from Harvard University. Nevertheless, there are those career-oriented parents who put themselves, their career, and their own ego before their children. They come first, and if any time is left over, then the children might Yes, they might get some of this time, if they are lucky. And as a defense for this selfish and self-serving lifestyle, these same people try to justify their actions by stating that it is not the amount of time spent with children, but the quality of the time spent with them. And since this lame excuse has become so popular and is used so often these days, let's examine it, shall we? One child expert who surveyed 200 top national executives and conducted in-depth interviews has found that this whole idea of quality time is a lot of baloney. It's a lot of hogwash. She pointed out that if you study the lives of those who are busy, busy, busy all week, and then watch these same individuals as they try to make amends with their children by spending quality time with them on weekends, you are going to be surprised. Because this child expert points out that in most cases, the quality time is usually spent running errands with the children coming along. And so I think we must all agree, spending time with your children is absolutely crucial to their future. This is not merely the opinion of a clergyman. This is the unanimous agreement, even among secular authorities, those who have studied children. But the real key to the future of your children is that you expose your loved ones to the living, the dynamic, and the life-giving Holy Word of God. This Word is what makes all the difference. This Word is life, and it is life eternal. Daily devotions and bedtime prayers based on God's Holy Word provide the opportunity for your children to get to know the God of love and the God of forgiveness and the God of grace. This Holy Word of God, as it is read from the Bible, as it is sung in Christian songs, and as it is spoken in daily devotions, has a powerful, strengthening, and life-giving effect. This efficacious Word, this life-giving Word, enters the ears and the hearts and the souls of your children. This Word has the power to cleanse them from sin. This Word assures the troubled heart of a child that even though life itself is often difficult, the God of the Bible shall certainly stand with them and see them through. And so you parents, as you plan to do your best for your family, if you seek to please God as you bring up your little ones, start now by arranging to have daily family devotions. In your present schedule, there is probably no time available for this. But if you are going to have God instead of the things of this world as the center of your life and your family, then this may well require some very radical changes in your home and in your weekly schedule. If you are unaware of devotional books appropriate for regular family devotions, write our office and we will be very happy to recommend some. Children find these books. They find these books so very, very interesting. The works of God, how He saved Noah in the flood, how God parted the waters of the Red Sea to rescue the Israelites, and the dramatic account of Daniel in the lion's den are only a few of the attention-getting stories in the Bible that will spiritually stimulate the growing minds of your children. And then, of course, there are all the New Testament stories which focus so beautifully on our Savior Jesus. Through these Christ-centered stories, your children will see how Jesus lived a perfect life for them, how Jesus died an innocent death for them, how Jesus rose again so that they, your children, can have the blessed hope of eternal life. And then with yourself as the leading example, help your children to learn the habit of attending church every Sunday. There are certainly those today who disdain going to church out of habit. We strongly disagree. Some habits in life can be bad, but many habits are also good. And attending church every Sunday is one of the finest habits that you can teach your children. In addition, it is also the fulfillment of the commandment which says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." Brushing one's teeth after meals is a good habit. Not crossing a city street on a red light is a good habit. Driving within the speed limit is a good habit. Teaching children to say thank you when they receive a gift is a good habit. Learning to clean up their room is for children a very good habit. And there are many, many good habits in life, and one of the very best habits that you could ever teach your children, both through diligent instruction and also through your example, is to worship the Creator God, both in daily family devotions and also in public worship on Sunday. And so to those of you parents who are struggling so hard to raise your children correctly, let me give you some encouraging news. The Weekly Reader surveyed 9 million children in grades 4 through grade 12. Those who conducted the survey were surprised. They asked the children to name their heroes in life. The largest group of children, listen to this, the largest group of children selected one or both of their own parents as their hero. This is very encouraging. Parents, your children love you. They look up to you, and they try to imitate you. And so this is also your golden opportunity for you to be a living witness of Jesus to them. Oh, parents, teach your children to pray, not merely by command, but by your example. Yes, teach your children to forgive, not through your exhortation only, but through your example of forgiving others, even your worst enemies. And most of all, by your example, teach your children to love Jesus and to trust in Jesus and to trust in His complete forgiveness and pardon from sin and to live in the Savior's grace and mercy every day. Oh, parents, follow Jesus and love Jesus, and then your children will follow you, and they will imitate you, and in turn, they will follow Jesus. Amen.